talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com. This is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Hey, honey, I'm on my way. Hey, 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 hey. Honey, I'm home and I've had a hard day. Pour me a cold one and oh, by the way, they're up my feet, give me something to eat. Fix me up my favorite tree. Honey, I'm back, my head's killing me. I need to relax and watch TV.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was Honey, I'm Home by Shania Twain. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Taryn Berger. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which is coming up January 22nd through the 24th, 2021, at the North Charleston Convention Center, giving ourselves a little extra space to for social distancing. And we also organize the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every August, and also the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, which happens every April. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We'll be talking with Julie Clark with Palmetto Surfacing. Also, home designer Jody Crosby. She draws the plans for if you're doing a kitchen remodel or an addition, or if you're planning to build a new house, she'll draw your plans for a new home. And also Bert Snyder with Palmetto Exterminators, and he is an expert on all those creepy crawly bugs out there. We'll have a great interview with him as well. But joining us right now is the social media director for Charleston Home and Design Magazine and also producer of Talking About a home show on the radio, Taryn Berger. How are you doing, Taryn?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on today's show. I'm very excited.
Well, sure. So, Taryn, you recently joined us. It's been a few months now. Mm-hmm. And talk about what you do here at Charleston Home and Design Magazine.
Well, I'm essentially anything and everything, social media, online marketing, to really gain exposure for not only ourselves, but for all of our clients. So all of our Instagram posts, Facebook posts, newsletters, anything that can be online and gain exposure for us and our clients is just what my job entails.
And the clients that you mentioned, those are the companies, the local companies that you see featured within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, right?
Correct, yes. So any company business that you see in our magazine are our clients. And so I just really try to make sure I give them exposure on any and every platform of Charleston Home and Design Magazine's social media pages.
And we have competitors who listen to our radio show to, just see, they want to see what we're all about and everything. And so, unfortunately, our competitors are going to hate what they're about to hear. But, Taryn, when it comes to promoting the companies that you see within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, talk about what we do for those companies.
So basically what we do is I will find a photo of a project that they have done and try to showcase their work on our Instagram, our Facebook, our Pinterest, our newsletter, and just give those clients more exposure. And since I've started working here the past 3 months, it's been about, we've gained 4,000 followers on Instagram, and which reflects on our clients, because then our clients are getting more work and are getting clients of their own. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And everybody knows how important it is to promote your company on social media. It's funny, it used to be the yellow pages people would turn to try to find, certain businesses that they might call. And today they look it up on their computer or their phone. And so we created this position, I don't even know how long, 5 or 6 years ago. And and part of what we do as a company, besides organizing or publishing Charleston Home and Design magazine and organizing our two home shows that we have, our job is to kind of help the companies that you see in Charleston Home and Design magazine promote them via radio. We have our radio show. Through print, through the magazine, through event marketing with our home shows, and then also social media. And I'm only scratching the surface. There's a number of other things that we do to help get business for our clients. And a lot of times we'll hear our clients tell us about how busy they are, or maybe we're talking to a prospect who hasn't come to join us yet, and they say, "Oh, I'm so busy." And I always like to just remind them that you might be busy, but are you taking the most profitable jobs out there? Because we can help you find the most profitable jobs and help you to maybe kind of pick and choose to make sure that you're not just staying busy, you're making
a profit.
Exactly. And what's some of the feedback you've gotten from some of the companies that advertise in Charleston Home and Design magazine?
Well, I just heard of a story that through social media, one of our clients actually got a job in Charlotte, and which just shows what a reach that social media marketing mm-hmm. has, because you don't just have to be in the area to discover our clients, because, you know, someone could just be following our Instagram page because they think we post pretty pictures, but then they see the company that did this project, you know, that we posted on our social media, and then that individual contacts that company,
yeah,
business. So.
Yeah, it was like a $1 million job, and that's the great thing about social media is it doesn't have borders. But that's just one example. But we have many. We have very very a lot of very happy customers at Charleston Home and Design magazine, and we work very hard to keep them happy. And that's the social media is one of those. It's part of our overall marketing program. It also involves us mailing our magazine and also our clients' marketing material to people who've just been issued building permits for new homes and big remodel projects. And we're definitely getting our magazine into the right hands and of the people that are ultimately buying the flooring and the countertops and the roofing and everything like that. So I just wanted to take a moment to introduce Taryn to our listeners. And what are some of the handles?
Our Instagram is chdmag. So if you just looked up on Instagram, chdmag, and then you can follow us on Facebook, Charleston Home and Design Magazine, our Pinterest, which again is just Charleston Home and Design Magazine. You can find a lot of the projects on there as well, clients we represent and photos of their projects.
All right, great. Well, so have a great weekend, everybody.
And joining us on the phone is Julie Clark with Palmetto Surfacing. How you doing, Julie?
Great, Tim. Hope you are.
Yes, doing fine. Julie, take a moment and tell everybody about Palmetto Surfacing.
Palmetto Surfacing is a top shop, fabrication shop located over in North Charleston. We're on 7645 South Railroad off of Ashley Phosphate. And what our specialty really is granite, marble, quartz, countertops. We do vertical applications, horizontal applications, and we also carry Corian shower bases, Corian shower walls. We're doing a lot with that as well.
Very good. So talk about when you say vertical application for some of the quartz products and also stone products, what do you mean by that?
What I mean, Tim, by that is it's really a home trend, basically, and what we're seeing an uptick in. Some homeowners are wanting their countertops and their backsplash to seem sort of flowless, if you will. And so they'll take the countertop material and go 18 inches up underneath the cabinets in a vertical application, keeping that pattern flow, you know, running sort of the same. Also behind a range, we'll do that as well. And also, what another kind of big trend would be is when people are wanting full wall applications of stone or quartz material in fireplace applications on a feature wall, or again in a kitchen if they're wanting their stone top to then match whatever's behind that. So we'll take a slab of material and turn it vertically and apply it to the wall in that manner.
Has anyone ever asked Palmetto Surfacing to hang any stone from the ceiling?
No, we have not had that. No, I think that weight could possibly or potentially be an issue for that. You definitely, we'd have to see the scope of work with that, but I don't know that a ceiling application would work. They do, the Cambria product, I will say, they do offer a 1 cm material and a 2 cm material, and we try to utilize that when we're doing vertical applications, again, due to obvious weight, and you know, all of that has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, I know they some tile companies have been asked to install tile on the ceiling, so I was curious if that is the same case with the Cambria quartz or any stone that you might have, but
sure.
With regards to hanging the putting the either stone or Cambria quartz on a backsplash, that's a good idea. Kills a couple birds with one stone because you don't have to fret about, you know, what kind of a backsplash design you're going to get. You don't have to pick out the tile. You don't have to hire the tile contractor to install it either. So
that's correct.
That saves some time and money there as well. Well, let's talk about Cambria, because that's what Palmetto Surfacing is best known for, is your Cambria quartz surfacing materials. And for some of our listeners that maybe aren't aware of Cambria, because there are other quartz companies out there, what makes Cambria quartz unique?
Well, the big thing with Cambria quartz is that Cambria is a U.S. product. So the family is the Davis family that owns the company Cambria. And so it's really nice because they have control over the product kind of from A to Z. They own their own mine. They're harvesting the purest quartz out of. And the headquarters is in Minnesota. So everything, again, is shipped to the company in Minnesota or the factory in Minnesota where the materials are made. And it's a number one organization. I've actually had the pleasure of visiting there. And it's really quite impressive how well quality is controlled, again, from A to Z on this product. Cambria sort of prides themselves on having and harvesting the purest quartz, which is, I see that a lot, Kim, in the design applications. We have customers that come in and clients who have kind of gone the gamut and looked around at different quartz companies and that sort of thing, and they just can't find the purest color they're looking for. And again, kind of looping back to what Cambria does, that is their niche. They have the purest whites, the purest blues, the purest colors that are out there, and they nail it almost every single time with that.
Gotcha. And the quartz countertops, those have become incredibly popular. It seems like for the last 15, 20 years, if you ask a cabinet company what you know, what color paint or stain is going on those cabinets. They'll say white. And then 9 times out of 10, people also want countertops that have that look of marble, but marble's too soft to put in the kitchen typically. So the Cambria quartz looks incredibly like a marble, like that, like the white Carrara that's so popular, right?
That is correct. They do have some, well, a fair amount of designs that do have the marble pattern and flow of the material. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to choose from. Everything from a Carrara look that's kind of a soft and classic look, all the way up to a bold look of some of your Calicatas and Statuario kind of marble looks. Cambria does have some of those designs and patterns that work very well in that application. And again, to your point, they are non-porous, so they will not absorb stain, and they will not etch like your marbles that are softer. So they're going to give you really a whole nother level of durability, mm-hmm. basically, yeah. to have that look.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have pigeonholed Cambria quartz, the colors, into just a marble look, because how many different colors does Cambria offer?
We are up to over 180 plus designs at this point. So that is a very good point you made, not just to say the marble look. It is the gamut. If you're wanting solids, if you're wanting some of the gray tones, beige tones, there's some that mimic almost like an oyster look. So they're all over the map. There's something for everybody to choose from.
And when does Cambria come out with new designs, new design colors?
They actually just launched 14 new. They launched 20. They did the big blitz, 20 new colors in January for 2020. But they also just came out with, about 6 weeks ago, 14 new designs that are called Coordinates Collection. They're very interesting. They do tend to be more on your modern side and kind of geared towards the architectural and build customer, but they're tonal and they're textured, so it's quite impressive. If you know the viewers have a moment to just even look it up, it's the Coordinates Collection. Again, Gensler and Cambria came out with this to kind of pull in something that has some concrete looks, some natural stone, meaning sort of some solids with fleck of color, whether it be white on white. That's kind of the basis of the entire collection, is tonal, white on white, beige on beige, and things like that.
You know, homeowners, as they are building a new custom home or doing a kitchen remodel, they have to make so many different choices. And with over 200 different design colors from Cambria, do more choices make it harder for a homeowner to ultimately make that decision?
Believe so. What we find is typically, whether it is a walk-in or an appointment made through a builder or a designer, typically the customer has some thought on the direction they'd like to head, and we welcome people to bring their tile, their door samples, their flooring samples, anything they have, even if it's pictures off of Pinterest, Houzz, all of those sites are so popular, just to kind of give us an idea, and we start pulling from there. And once you kind of make one selection, what we find is everything else seems to follow suit. So it goes pretty well, pretty seamlessly, and we are more than welcome to give samples to people. They leave here with typically something in hand that they can take and place in their home or take to the next stop, whether it's lighting, tile, flooring, etc.
And you've been in the business long enough, and same with me with the magazine, that we know where kind of quartz came from. And quartz was, granite used to be, you know, king, and now quartz has sort of taken over that slot. So quartz is, and especially Cambria quartz countertops are incredibly popular, especially with custom builders and interior designers, right?
That is correct. And we are seeing, I've met with a builder this morning, and he made that exact comment to me. He said, you know, 10 years ago it was granite, and now it is definitely a quartz world. And that is what we're seeing because of the ease and really the very low maintenance of it. Mm-hmm. You know, when we install your job 5 years from now, that is what it's going to look like. You're not going to have the scratching and the etching and the discoloration and things like that. So it's a super product.
Well, very good. Well, how can folks get more information about Palmetto Surfacing?
They are more than welcome to go online and look up palmettosurfacing.com. Also, feel free to give us a call at 843-569-1131. And again, we're located on 7645 South Railroad over in North Charleston.
And you definitely, if you've never visited Palmetto Surfacing showroom, you definitely want to do that because it's a beautiful showroom. They've got lots of vignettes set up and great ways to display all the different countertop options. Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Julie Clark with Palmetto Surfacing. Thanks so much, Julie.
Thank you, Tim.
And joining us now on the phone is Jody Crosby with Crosby Creations Home Designs. How are you doing, Jody?
I'm doing great, Tim. How are you?
Good. Jody, take a minute and tell everybody about Crosby Creations Home Designs.
So we are a full-service design firm. We do custom home design. We do renovation and addition design. We even sell stock plans through our website for those customers that don't necessarily want to go through the long process of designing a custom home, and they're able to find a good fit for one of the plans online that will work for their lot and their zoning and so on and so forth. And we can make plan modifications in-house, and it's fairly seamless, obviously, because there are plans, and they're already in our software.
Gotcha. So homeowners, they have the choices of maybe looking online, looking at some stock house plans, and maybe purchasing a set of plans. And they could also go to the extreme and hire an architect to do those house designs. And then Crosby Creations Home Design sort of falls right in the middle of those two. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So we don't do construction management the way architects do. And then, of course, there's just certain neighborhoods that require an architect. So, they work in those neighborhoods, and then there's many other neighborhoods and areas around here that don't require architects, and I feel that we're maybe a little more of a budget-friendly option if our clients maybe have a little bit of a tighter budget and they don't have as much, set aside for plan development and that sort of thing. And with our service, also, the homeowner is going to have a lot more time in their selections. They're going to have to do probably a good bit more footwork and coordinating with the builder and that sort of thing, because we don't do detailed specs for our plans. We're not going to choose what windows and doors you're going to install and that sort of thing.
Gotcha. And I definitely don't recommend people. There's lots of choices. You can buy stock plans online, and I've heard so many stories. You probably have too, Jody, about people who have bought stock plans and then they weren't suitable for the lot that they're planning to build on, or they required changes, so they end up having to hire somebody else to make those changes. And if you're going to buy some stock plans, Crosby Creations Home Designs has some stock plans, or you can draw them from scratch for people, right?
Yeah, and that's correct. And I want to elaborate a little bit on the stock plans. And you are 100% correct. I can't tell you how many times I've been hired to do code compliance on stock plans, make changes, make it fit on a lot, you know, that sort of thing, just from picking it off, you know, someone picking one online at random, they like it, and it doesn't really work, so we have to make it work. The great thing about Crosby Creations and what we do here, for over 12 years, I've been designing custom houses. So the stock plan venture is fairly new. I've only been doing, you know, that for a couple of years. But I'm able to carry my custom house knowledge into that stock plan market, because when a client reaches out to me and says, oh, hey, I'd like to buy the Ocean View Retreat and I want to, you know, I want to build it here or there, I ask for their survey. Because if I'm designing a custom house, that survey is the first thing that we need in order to figure out what the lot is going to handle, whether it's in a flood zone, what our setbacks are, what size house they want to put on the lot. Is it going to fit? Are we going to be within the lot coverage? Are we going to be able to build it within the height restrictions? So I'm able to bring that knowledge over to that stock plan area of the business and say, all right, well, you want to buy that plan? Well, let me get some information from you. Let me see the survey. Let's see if it's going to fit. Let's see if it's going to work. And if it's not, you know, maybe we can modify it, or maybe they need to pick a different plan, or, you know, maybe we can do it custom from there. It could go, you know, a couple different ways. But I think that I offer something that maybe some other companies don't, because I feel that there's probably a good many companies out there that sell stock plans that, you know, they just sit down and they create a plan and it looks great and that sort of thing. But I'm able to bring that custom edge into it and get that, you know, that zoning information figured out, get that lot fit information figured out.
Probably, and I've talked to you about this before in previous interviews, one of the most valuable services that Crosby Creations Home Designs can provide a homeowner is creating a design, a plan for the house to be built that falls within the budget that the homeowner has established. And I remember, you know, 11 years ago or 12 years ago when we were planning to build our house, and we hired an architect. And I think I've told you the story before about how we never knew what this house was going to cost to build. You know, even after it was drawn, we kept asking, and she couldn't tell us. And it ended up being more than we could afford, so we had to make some changes on it. But you're able to kind of you know, a lot of your customers at Crosby Creations Home Designs, your customers are, this is their dream home that they're planning, and there are certain things they've experienced throughout their life that they say, oh, I want this, I want this. This is my dream home. I want, you know, let's put it in, let's make that dream a reality. But you can kind of pull back on the reins a little bit and say, hey, you know, we've got to raise the, talk about that a bit.
Yes, I have to have some very tough conversations with clients. It's not my most favorite part of my job for sure. But you're right, when I have clients sitting in front of me and we're going over their design criteria and we're talking about square footage, we're talking about ceiling heights, we're talking about exterior facade finishes, we're talking about, you know, what type of windows they're going to be putting in. We're talking about foundation coverings. We're talking about shingles versus metal on the roof. And we sort of get through some of those general questions. And I go, okay, well, what's your budget? And then they tell me and I go, okay, well, you can't afford a metal roof. Well, why can't I afford a metal roof? Because it's 3 to 4 times the cost of shingles. So it's really going to drive up your per square footage price to build. You know, you can't have a 40-foot covered porch off the back. Well, why not? Well, because it's just as expensive to build outside space as it is to build inside space. So we're going to need to downsize that. Well, I want brick on my foundation. I'm sorry, that's not in your budget. You're going to need to go with stucco, maybe even an upgrade of that, and let's go with tabby. So those are the conversations that I have to have if the customer comes in and they have a tight budget. And being able to establish that up front before I even put pen to paper and start designing is so valuable, because they're able to leave my office, have conversations with one another, decide, okay, where, you know, are we willing to give up some square footage because we really, really, really want that metal roof? Because it out of the box, it comes out to, you know, that square footage rate. Is your budget $250 a square foot, or is your budget $350 a square foot? And it's, you know, that's kind of where we're at in Charleston right now. The market's just booming. It's just crazy. And yeah, those conversations are not fun to have with the client, but I'm so glad that I'm at a place now that I can have those conversations with them in the very beginning, because I don't want to have that conversation with them 2 or 3 months down the road. And then I'm also able to keep them in line as they come back and we start making changes and they go, oh, well, we want to add square footage here, and we want to add, and I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about, did your budget grow? If your budget grew, then yeah, by all means, let's add that square footage. But if your budget didn't grow, then we're going to have to rein it in a little bit. What are you willing to give up?
Mm-hmm. Right. Or maybe I want an elevator. Well, your budget won't allow for that, but let's build an elevator shaft. And then as time goes on, you can add the elevator.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I maybe have done 2 in the last 10 years elevated houses that I didn't put an elevator shaft in. But, you know, just to give you an idea, 2-stop elevator just from ground to first floor, that's about $15,000. A 3-stop elevator all the way up to the second floor, that's close to $20,000, give or take. So to be able to have some of those numbers on hand and just to be able to give that information to the client, it really allows them to walk out of my office feeling more educated about the process.
And Jody, Crosby Creations Home Designs, you work hand in hand with a lot of custom, well-known custom builders here in Charleston, right?
Oh, I do. I work with a good many builders. A lot of them actually are clients of yours as well, Tim.
Mm-hmm. And they will, when a homeowner, because sometimes the homeowner likes to jump the gun a little bit and they wish they could just snap their fingers and their new house would be all done and they could move in. But so they'll start talking with the builder, and then the builder will say, wait, I can't give you a bid. I can't bid on the, on, you know, we need a plan. And that's when they'll start referring their potential customer over to Crosby Creations Home Designs.
Yes, that's correct. And just so anybody listening, just so you sort of know, please, by all means, reach out to a builder, get familiar with them, walk their products, but they're not going to be able to give you, just like Tim said, they're not going to be able to give you a price on a set of non-existent plans. They're going to need a full set of plans, work and drawings, and they're going to need engineering. Because engineering has a large impact on your cost. The engineer is going to design your foundation, all of your hurricane strapping, you know, get the house structurally ready for any seismic activity. So that has a huge impact on your pricing, what kind of hold downs and beams and framing and foundation and that sort of thing. They really need those two items in order to be able to go forward with the bidding process.
Exactly. Well, if you want to build your dream home, start with Crosby Creations Home Designs. And how can folks reach Crosby Creations Home Designs?
You can reach me by phone, 843-514-7354, or look us up on the web at crosby-creations.com.
And we've been talking about new construction. Crosby Creations Home Designs, you folks work with a lot of homeowners that are remodeling their homes. They love their location, and they want to stay in their neighborhood. They may love their neighbors and don't want to leave. You definitely don't want to wing it and try to do a remodel on your own without a house plan. And Crosby Creations Home Designs can help with renovations as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We do a lot of renovations, additions. Most recently, we've been getting a lot of requests for pool houses because I think everybody's kind of homebound and going stir crazy. So pool houses and you know, shed additions and workshops and, you know, additional dwelling units and all that stuff. But I just ask, have a survey. You're going to need a survey if you want to add on.
There you go.
But renovation stuff, yes, we can definitely do that. Everybody loves to open up that kitchen to the living room and those, you know, old 60s, 70s, and 80s houses, you know, removing walls or rearranging the space or, you know, adding on a master suite or just, you know, rearranging the interior to be able to get that nice dedicated master bathroom and that sort of thing. And, you know, we've done small projects and we've done whole house renovations and we've done, you know, projects where, you know, we've had to raise houses so that they could be flood compliant and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we kind of touch on everything.
Well, good deal. Well, and you can find Crosby Creations Home Designs in the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine, or go to charlestonhomeanddesign.com and look up Crosby Creations Home Designs. We have been talking with Jody Crosby with Crosby Creations Home Designs. Thanks so much, Jody.
Thank you, Tim.
And now we are talking with Bert Snyder with Palmetto Exterminators. How are you doing, Bert?
Just fine, Tim. How are you?
Good, good. Bert, take a moment and tell everyone about Palmetto Exterminators.
Well, Palmetto Exterminators is a family-owned and operated company. We've been in existence since 1960. Our home is the Charleston area, even though we have 8 branch offices throughout South Carolina. And, you know, we work over the borders in Georgia and in North Carolina. But South Carolina is our home. That's where the majority of our customers are, and that's where we live. And we are a general pest control, primarily residential services for, you know, single-family residential homes. We also have a commercial division and everything else, but we primarily focus on residential pest control and termite control.
Gotcha. And Palmetto Exterminators is a family-run business. Your dad started it?
Well, yeah, my mom and dad actually purchased what was originally Palmetto Exterminators in Walterboro, South Carolina, in 1976, and they ran it up until 1990 when I took it over, and then in 1999, right around Hurricane Floyd coming through, my brother came on board as our chief financial officer, and we've been running it up since.
Well, very good, and this is, I think, kind of interesting. It definitely sets Palmetto Exterminators apart from other pest control companies in Charleston. You actually have a degree in is it epidemiology?
No, entomology.
Excuse me. The COVID thing.
Yeah, ENTO.
I think
entomology.
I've been hearing epidemiology a lot lately in the news and stuff. So what was that again? What's your degree in?
It's an entomology, which is the study of insects, and I got that from Clemson University in 1999.
Very good.
Excuse me, 1990. Excuse me,
1990. And how does that help benefit your customers at Palmetto Exterminators?
Well, my father had a degree in entomology as well as education from Penn State. And he recognized that gave him the ability ultimately to be the training directors for Orkin and Terminex, you know, after World War II and up until the time he bought Palmetto Exterminators. He saw the benefits of that. It just gives you the ability to have a better insight to the behavior and the biology of pest insects. And that just sets you apart from the rest of the industry. Most other companies out there, unless you're a large national company or a very large regional company, you usually don't have the financial wherewithal to hire a training director that has a background in entomology. So it's kind of rare from that standpoint of us entomologists having a degree in the pest control industry. Most entomologists go into research and agriculture and, you know, disease control, like for mosquitoes and that type of stuff.
Right. Gotcha. And speaking of mosquitoes, there is a separate division to Palmetto Exterminators, right? Called Palmetto Mosquito Control.
We have a sister business called Palmetto Mosquito Control, and we established that building business in the early 2000s, seeing a need for residential pest control. The county mosquito control service, where you see the trucks going down the road and the airplanes flying over the marshes and whatnot, they're primarily designed to help limit mosquito populations in an effort to control disease. Doesn't really do a whole lot to your comfort level and populations in your backyard. So we saw a niche that was very closely related to what we were already doing, to where we could move into that arena. And we use, you know, a variety of different things. One is we also have a misting system that we install, because that's the hardest part is controlling mosquitoes as they want to migrate into your yard. And surprisingly, it's been very successful from the standpoint of the effectiveness, from that standpoint, and we've seen really good success with it. So it's been a really good business, and we've been able to give people a lot of use of their backyards with also controlling the no-see-ums. We live in this wonderful environment in Charleston, and we want to be able to enjoy those backyards and scenery. So we've been able to help a lot of people, even eliminating their screened-in porches. It works so well.
Well, I'm going to ask you in a second about the swarming season that we just experienced with termites. But before we get off the subject of the Palmetto mosquito control, probably the most basic question that listeners and readers of Charleston Home and Design magazine have is, does the system, the Palmetto mosquito control system, work? You know, will it actually keep mosquitoes away from my backyard, even if, like, my neighbor doesn't have a mosquito control system?
Yeah, a perfectly legitimate question, because it is something relatively new for the pest control industry to have gotten into, particularly early 2000s when we first started it. We were the only company in the area that was doing that. So there was a lot of skepticism, if you will, out there about the effectiveness of it. Surprisingly, being an entomologist and looking at it as scientifically and the control, my house was the experiment house, if you will, when we were first starting to do that service. I was amazed at how well it worked. I don't want to oversell it, but it really got to the point where we would be in our yard and not see any mosquitoes or no-see-ums, and we would walk over into the neighbor's yard, literally just 20, 30, 40 feet away, and talking to the neighbor, and we would be like attacked by the mosquitoes and no-see-um, so much so that my wife would have to run our children back into our yard because they were just getting bombarded by the mosquitoes. So I was surprised at how well it worked. So was my father at the time. He didn't believe it would work really well, but one of the unique things that we saw about the misting system is that it, once you knock down that existing population that's in and harboring in your yard, they're very slow to move in, and the products also worked as kind of a repellent, because it's at a very low dosage mist that we put out there, designed specifically to control the mosquitoes and the no-see-ums. So it will control the mosquitoes and no-see-ums in your yard, but it also repels the ones wanting to come in. So it was surprisingly how target-specific it works, literally from the property line. Obviously, the more neighbors that have it, the bigger area you're going to get control. So naturally, marketing, we always talk about the neighbors having service as well. But I've had a system on my house for 20 years, and everybody is absolutely amazed that we can sit in our backyard looking at the marsh and we're not getting attacked by mosquitoes and no-see-ums. I mean, it works extremely well.
Well, it sounds like you live in a mosquito-prone area, because those mosquitoes definitely like to breed in the marsh waters, right?
Yeah, the saltwater marsh mosquitoes are just very vicious and will attack you, particularly when we have these high tide times where, you know, they'll be standing water in the areas that normally don't get water. Usually, you know, 14 days after those high tides, those spring tides or a flooding event, is when we just have a population explosion in the mosquitoes, or a lot of rain when we have a lot of population explosion in the mosquitoes. So, yeah, my yard was the perfect test ground for the system.
Good deal. Well, let's switch gears and get back to talking about Palmetto exterminators. And In the springtime, and this is can be quite a surprise slash a bit frightening for newcomers to the area. They buy a house in Charleston, and in the springtime, usually, what is it, about May or early June?
Yes, we have what we call the Formosan termite swarm season. It's an invasive species that came in the 1950s. It's a subterranean termite that is very aggressive, very high populations. It's now, over the course of the last 70 years, it is now the dominant termite. It is taking over and it's pushed out the other indigenous species. And they also will infest live trees with these live oak trees and the water oaks that we have around here. They like infesting those trees, but that's not the only trees they infest. Each spring, they produce up to 70,000 swarmers per colony. We know that there are probably 10 to 15 colonies per acre in the Lowcountry now. And these swarmers are the future kings and queens of new colony. They swarm out in large numbers, and their goal is to try and start a new colony somewhere. That's how they spread. So they fly at night and swarm towards the lights at night. So we knew that this year was going to be pretty epic because of the warm, wet, mild winter that we had, and just all the tropical systems and the snowstorm that we had, where we had a lot of tree damage. So there was a lot of debris down, a food source for them over the last 3 years. We knew that it was going to be an epic year. So starting about mid-May, right around Memorial Day, just before Memorial Day, they start swarming. So through mid-May to the end of June, we probably received close to 30,000 phone calls during that time period, reporting mostly these swarm events that people were seeing in and around their house.
Dang, 30,000 phone calls. And these were homeowners freaking out, right? Thinking,
yeah. Well, a lot of them, actually, the vast majority of them, probably 80%, were existing customers. Who most of those folks that we've had trained over the years and educated them on what this event is, so they don't freak out. But the vast majority of these swarm events that occur around people's houses, the swarmers are coming from off-site. They're not swarming from the house. They're swarming from a tree or someplace else, neighbor's yard, wherever it may be, and they're flying towards the house. So that doesn't mean you have an infestation. That just means you've got a pretty significant colony producing swarmers in close proximity to your house in direct line sight of your lights or with which way the wind was blowing. So the vast majority of them are customers initially, and then we obviously get people that are not customers, that don't have a service on their house, that may be new to the neighborhood, or they just have never bought a surface, or let their service expire. And a certain number of them are calls from other companies, customers who are overwhelmed and they can't seem to get anybody from that other company to come out and look at it. So we'll actually go and even look at other properties, even if they're not a customer of ours and they're under service with somebody else, from that standpoint. So yeah, it's a lot of customers, and we go and chase those down because we know that a certain amount of those are going to have, probably about a 0.5% of our customers actually have an infestation. And the only way to find that is to go make an inspection. So we have to go track these down, and we're in that process now of going to each and every one of those properties over time. It usually takes us a couple of months to work through them through the winter to go and look at them all.
And the technicians for Palmetto Exterminators that come out and look, they've got a very, very keen eye. What are they looking for?
Well, first of all, we train our technicians on the behavior and biology of the Formosans. The more experience the technician has, obviously people have more experience than others. So, after they've gone through a number of swarm seasons, they know what to look for with our training and what we call those specific spots, and know how to anticipate what's there. Example, most of the calls we get are on second floor bathrooms, of people finding them in their second floor bathroom. And I know that seems kind of counterintuitive of termite swarms, but here's the simple explanation why. Those termites are flying towards the structures. They climb up They go through your soffit vents, get in your attic space, and they're looking for light. So where's the light on latest at night? Well, it's usually in your bathroom right before you go to bed. So they have the can lights on or some kind of light infiltrating into the attic space. Those termites will drop through around those can lights or vents. So that's why a lot of people have those. So that's indicative of a swarmer flying to the property, not actually coming to the site. So we first start with that premise, and then we also look for other things, condition conducive, like moisture problems or rot damage. And also, you know, we'll talk to the customer about where did they see them, you know, if they're around a door or on a porch, or if they're actually coming from a strange area that doesn't make any sense, or there's a big number of them. We know that we've got to investigate more closely, and our technicians know to ask those questions and to look at those areas. And we also then will, if we're suspect that something is going on, we also have infrared cameras that we can look and you know, give us an idea if there is a possible nest in a wall somewhere that will show up as a hot spot. So they're looking for all of those things, and termite tubes and then damage as well. So there's a every one of them's a little different. So you just have to have a little what I call the crime scene of the insects investigation to kind of look at these areas closely and to know what we're looking at.
Now, what's the you had mentioned the Formosan termites are the most notorious, the ones that are dominant here in the I guess, is it just Charleston or is it the Southeast?
Well, believe it or not, Charleston was the first place in the continental United States that this termite got established. It was in the 1950s. Since then, it's now dominated. It's throughout the Lowcountry. We have them in Beaufort. We have them in Hilton Head, Savannah. And now they have are filling in throughout the Southeast. Florida is probably 25, 30 years behind us. They've popped up in Atlanta. They've popped up in Rock Hill. They've actually popped up in the Piedmont area up near Clemson. And usually they're transported into those areas. Railroad ties for landscaping have been a big culprit. People getting old used railroad ties that are infested and taking them to their house to use as landscaping has been identified as one of the ways they've gotten transported into those other areas. Once they get into those areas and they are there long enough to produce a swarm event in the spring, they're established at that point in time. Fortunately, it takes decades for them to really become dominant and to the level that we have now in Charleston. But yeah, they are from Asia. They are the most destructive termite species in the world. Australia is loaded full of them. You know, so there's been several places that they've come from, introduced states. Example that we know, the family or group that got established in Charleston is different from the group that got established in New Orleans. We've done that with DNA mapping of the populations in the area, so we know they came from a different location.
Well, we're almost out of time, but I did want to ask you real quick, what's the difference between like the Formosans that you said can climb up a house, go in through the soffit vents, and then make their way down to like a second floor bathroom, between that and say like is it called a drywood termite?
Yeah, we have, it's a drywood termite is a different group of termites, and they're exactly that. These termites can infest wood without moisture, and they don't need a moisture source to survive. We have a couple of species here we deal with. The downtown and beach area, we're dealing a lot with what they call the powder post drywood termite, different from the powder post beetle or the furniture drywood termite. And they can be very aggressive and challenging. I actually looked at one yesterday downtown Charleston. They were coming out of somebody's hardwood floor. Those colonies are usually small, 3,000 to 4,000 insects isolated to a spot. They do more cosmetic damage. They'll eat furniture, trim, flooring. They really don't do structural damage like the subterranean termites, like the Formosan termite, but they can be very difficult to ultimately get control because there could be multiple colonies within a structure. A lot of times you'll see fumigations being done. In the past, that was the primary mechanism of getting rid of the drywoods, where they would tarp a house completely in the plastic and fumigate it, and that way it kills everything in the structure. That's kind of going away because it's gotten real expensive. So now a lot of people are just repairing the areas where the activity is. The primary means of controlling a colony is simply remove the wood that they're in. And in the meantime, we can also do treatments into that wood and around that wood to help, you know, prevent them or slow them down. But they're more of a persistent problem, an irritant, if you will, but they're not really structurally a problem. Other than unless they're getting into your, you know, antique furniture, could be a problem.
They're not going to do the big damage that to a home where they're eating walls, entire walls like the Formosan.
Correct. I've been involved with several big renovation projects on homes downtown, the historical homes in the, you know, in the historical district down there, and where they've completely taken the, you know, plaster off or their sheetrock off, and you'll see a lot of damage sometimes around some windows and whatnot. They do like a little bit of moisture, so they will like being hanging around a window, and usually the damage is a lot of time it's just left in. They don't even remove it, you know, from that standpoint. A lot of times the trim and stuff is replaced, but they're not going to be the ones that you're going to have, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage done by this termite versus like the Formosan. You could lose your house with the Formosan. You can't lose your house with the Drywoods.
Right. And we don't have time to get into this, but just to be clear, we have a lot of newcomers to the Charleston area. Termite damage is not typically covered by your homeowner's insurance that you have. And so
correct.
Anybody who does not have a termite agreement with a pest control company like Palmetto Exterminators, they need it. And it's not terribly expensive. The renewal each year is only a few hundred dollars, right?
Correct. The most expensive part is the initial treatment. Regardless of whatever had been treated on the property previously, if we're going to come to a property, we have to look at it and treat it as if it's never been treated before. And that protects the consumer, making sure they get a good treatment. Those treatments can run, you know, $1,500, $3,000 for a typical house initially. And then it's going to be, you know, $300 to $400 annual for the renewal of the agreement. You know, some agreements are just service only, like an old house downtown Charleston. It's not going to have repair clauses in that agreement. It's just going to be a retreatment only contract. And then you have those like in a new house or house without a problem that has a repair agreement. Some people refer to that as a bond, but it's really a termite control service with a warranty. Every company is a little bit different. So you just need to read and understand your agreement, your contract with those individual companies, because we're all a little bit different. Some similarities, some are lifetime, some aren't. Some have to pay for booster treatment, some don't, those type of things. And there's always exclusions in the contract. It's not unlimited. So say if you've got a leaking roof and termites get into it, that's going to be an exclusion. Termite companies aren't going to pay for that type of damage and situation because there's no way we control that. So homeowners need to read and understand their contracts and know who they're dealing with. Every company is not the same.
Right. Definitely get a termite agreement with a reputable termite prevention company like Palmetto Exterminators. And how can folks reach Palmetto Exterminators?
Well, our local office here in Charleston, which is our headquarters, that number is 843-766-9701. And you could also look it up on our website, which is palmettoexterminators.net. And you can also look up palmettomosquitocontrol.com. You can look us up that as well.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Bert Snyder with Palmetto Exterminators. Thanks so much, Bert.
All right, thanks, Tim.
Talking about a home. You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.